But listen, men, you are amazing. Incredible, incredible men. We celebrate today the men of the Church Covington. You're a blessing. Men who are men. Men who act like men and think like men. It isn't a curse. It's actually a blessing. Because all things men are under attack. Maleness, masculinity, they are under attack. So men, on this Father's Day, I affirm you. I bless you. I speak well of you. I charge you. Don't be a jerk. Be kind to everyone. Treat others right. But be a man in the process. Amen. That's what the word says. Amen. Can we one more time give all of our fathers and men a hand? God bless you. You see, at some point, we have to realize the power of relationships. That there is a transference in relationships. I look like my daddy. Or maybe I act like my daddy. I share the same mannerisms as my father. See, what we got from them plays a role in who we are today. And there is good, bad, and ugly in that. Of course, we don't just glean the good. Sometimes we glean the challenges. We glean the things that need to be left behind. As has been said, I may be born looking like my daddy, but I will die looking like my decisions. It's fascinating to me that 97% of people who abuse children were abused themselves. It is the wrong stuff being transferred. The thing that they hated is the thing that they repeat, and it is a sad cycle. I'm challenging every man in the room to begin repeating and transferring the right stuff. Even if the right stuff didn't happen to you, we can create, we can choose, we can change, we can decide to transfer the right things to the next generation. Are there any men in the house that are committed to transferring the right stuff to our next generation? Absolutely, absolutely. I love Psalm 145, and for generation after generation stands in awe of your work. Each one tells stories of your mighty acts. You see, we all have stories of how we were raised. Many of them, when it comes to men, it's the tough stories. It's how we walked to school 5 miles each way uphill in the snow and somehow the pouring rain at the same time. We tell how we were challenged or how hard life was, and there's nothing wrong with that. I don't think we need to raise a generation of soft men or men, kids that have no concept that the world can be a very difficult place and absolutely is a tough place to survive. But I want to make sure that I'm telling stories of his mighty acts in my life as well. My grandparents did not serve God. I had the privilege of baptizing my grandmother and leading her to Jesus. My parents were first generation Christians, first generation believers, first generation spirit-filled people in our family. My mother stayed faithful. My father peeled off into all kinds of craziness in his life. But my kids, not only are hearing about the challenges of life, but they're also hearing the stories of the Lord's mighty acts in my life. I want to make sure there is a mix. I want to make sure they're hearing stories of faith, and that generation after generation. Maybe that generation starts with you, but it does not have to end with you, because if you begin building those stories in your life, if you begin seeing God do great things in your life, then guess what? You have a story to tell the next generation. I want more stories. I want more stories of his mighty acts. Let me tell you one from Mark chapter 5 today, beginning at verse number 22. And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, speaking of Jesus, he fell at his feet and begged him earnestly, saying, "My little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her that she may be healed and she shall live." So Jesus went with him, and a great multitude followed him and thronged him. There's a lot of interesting points in these few verses that I read today. They stand out to me. Of course, it stands out to me that Jairus is a ruler in the synagogue. He is a leader in the church. He is someone who serves the house of God. He loves it and he lives it and obviously lives for it. Let me just tell you, men, it's still cool to serve. It's still cool to be faithful. It's still all right to be a part, a strong part of God's house. You don't just have to follow her to church or just do this for one reason or another. You can fall in love with the house of God and be a leader here. I'm so thankful for men who lead so well in this house. I salute you. I love you and thank God for you. You look just like Jairus, who is a ruler in his house, a leader in his church. But look what else stands out to me. The Bible said that when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. As soon as he got into the presence of the Lord, as soon as he encountered Jesus, as soon as he got close to where Jesus was, there was only one option for him. There was only one thing that mattered to him. There was only one thing important in that moment. It was that he give praise to the Lord, who was worthy of praise. He fell at his feet. He's got a pretty important prayer request. He no doubt has some very serious things on his mind, but when he gets in the presence of the Lord, Randy helped us today with the weight that men carry and the stress that men carry. And it's easy for us to get distracted. It's easy for us to get so laser focused on whatever it is that we're trying to solve and settle and deal with in our lives that we miss those opportunities to just fall down at His feet. But listen to me, fathers. Listen to me, men. Listen to me, brothers. There is no greater posture for any one of us to be in than to be in a position and a posture of praise and of worship. I don't know if I got any men in the room that are willing to worship God with everything they have, but count me among you because I know that God is great. I know that He is worthy. I know that He deserves every bit of worship that I have. He fell at Jesus' feet. He fell in humility. He fell in worship. I don't have all the answers. That's what He's saying. I'm up against something that I cannot solve. I'm up against something that I cannot fix. I'm up against something that I cannot settle by myself. And so He fell at Jesus' feet. And then He begins to tell the Lord, "My little girl." It's interesting that mom is not the one coming to talk to Jesus. I do not know why. That's not shade. It's not questioning mom's commitment. It's not questioning her ability to mother, successfully. Obviously, she is still there at the bedside of her little girl and doing all she can to bring the fever down and trying every trick she's ever heard from her mom or her grandmother. She's obviously right there holding her hand. But it's interesting that when they had tried everything that they knew to do, that this father says, "Let me go and find Jesus." Again, please don't hear anything I'm not saying, because I'm not saying that the mother was not committed or faithful or resolute in her faith. She's just there with her little girl. I almost see it just the way that I see a lot of men, even in my own life. If there is a crisis, if there is an emergency, I don't know what it is that comes over me, but something in me calms, something in me settles. I don't freak out. I don't get loud. Something just calms in me, and somehow I know what to do. Somehow I know who needs to be called or what step needs to be taken. I'm not trying to set myself up as the hero, but there's just something innate in a man that when there is crisis, all of a sudden, when there is a threat, when there is something that happens, I don't know what it is, but something wakes up inside of a man that says, "You know what? I know how to handle this. I know what to do about this. I know where the answer is. I know how to fix this." And I celebrate that in you today, men. It gets criticized often. It gets made fun of and shamed often. But I celebrate that in you today, because that is what is going to lead our families back to spiritual success. I don't know what y'all thought today, but I came ready to preach on Father's Day. I love speaking to men. I'm thankful for the opportunity to speak to men. I don't know why mom didn't come. It's just the different emotional makeup. But dad said, "You know what? I need to handle this." Man, we got crisis in America. We need you to handle this. And you know what the Bible said? The Bible said that Jesus went with him. It's one of my favorite phrases, sentences in all of the Bible. "Jesus, I've got a crisis in my house. Jesus, I've got a need in my life. Jesus, I've got an emergency." 911. And Jesus went with him. Man, if we can get Jesus to go with us today, I know we feel him when we come here, but if we can get him to go with us back home, if we can get him to go with us to our place of business, if we can get him to go with us on our day-to-day journey. And Jesus went with him. This man doesn't know it. This man is going to question it. This man's faith is going to be rocked in the next little while. But you and I have the privilege of reading this story in hindsight. Can I just tell you that the thing that guarantees that everything is going to work out in Jairus' life is the fact that Jesus decided to go with him. Listen, I need to preach to some folk in this room that things are still swirling in your life, that things are still out of control in your life, that things are not where they need to be. If you feel what I feel right now, those goosebumps running up and down my spine, if Jesus has gone with you, then listen, everything is going to be all right. I need a man to believe this. I need a woman to believe this. I need a family to believe this. If Jesus is with us, then everything has to work out just according to his will. Jesus said, come on, man, I'm going to your house with you. But while they are on their way, Mark chapter 5, that's when the woman with the issue of blood comes and touches the garment of Jesus. And Jesus turns to that crowd of people and wants to know who touched me. Jairus is standing there waiting. Jairus is tapping his toe, no doubt. Jairus is nervous. He's cracking his knuckles. He's fixed everything he can fix. He's standing there and now his arms are folded and he's getting frustrated because he's living with an interruption. He's living with an interruption in his life. It is the worst day of his life and the best day of his life all at the same time. His daughter is suffering. That's the worst. But Jesus is working. That's the best. I don't know if anybody can relate today to the living in the best of times and the worst of times all at the same time. Things are not where you want them to be, and yet you feel God's presence stronger than you ever have. You're just living in the interruption. Jesus said he was going to my house. I don't know if he forgot about me. I don't know. He's been talking to this woman, so he's finally started polling the crowd. Did you touch me? Did you? Who touched me? He's taking polls and votes, trying to figure out who it was that touched his clothes. And now he and this woman are in a full-on conversation. And I'm just sure that Jesus forgot all about me and my little girl. How many have ever felt forgotten by the Lord? Living in the interruption. They're finally on their way and Jesus is interrupted. Living in the interruption is hard. We don't know how long it took. We don't know how long Jesus spent with this woman. But I know Jairus is frustrated. And in fact, the Bible said in verse 35, where we pick up the story in progress, while he was still speaking, while Jesus was still talking to the woman, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house who said, your daughter is dead. So while you have been in conversation with Jesus, while you have been living in the interruption, your situation did not turn for the good. It turned toward the worse. You were dealing with really serious news. Now it is the worst news that you've ever received. Your daughter is dead. And then they asked this question. They said, why trouble the teacher any further? Don't trouble him any longer, because your situation, it's done, it's over. It's as bad as it could ever be. Your daughter is dead. Don't trouble the teacher any further. Men, fathers, brothers, I came to preach today, stay in trouble. We're in this staycation series and just working through some stay in trouble. Every man in this room needs to stay in a little trouble. You're saying, oh, Pastor Darrell, I got that. I'm always in trouble. I'm talking about the right kind of trouble. It's easy enough to be in trouble, but I want to be in the right kind of trouble. I want to be in the kind of trouble that keeps me in Jesus' face. I want to be in the kind of trouble that keeps me pursuing him, that keeps me reaching for him. I've had enough of the other kind of trouble in my life. Spent enough days in dog houses. I want the kind of trouble that keeps me up in Jesus' face saying, hey, no, we got one more thing I need you to tend to. I got something else I need you to answer. Lord, you're not getting rid of me that easy. You're not dismissing me. I'm in trouble. I'm going to trouble you. I'm going to push you. I'm going to talk to you. I'm going to beg you sometime. I'm going to be the nuisance sometime. I'm going to constantly be waving my hands in worship and hollering out in prayer. I'm going to stay in trouble. Why trouble the master any longer? Why trouble the teacher any further? Because I've got crisis in my house. I need the Lord to move. I need the Lord to work. I need the kind of trouble that means miracles are possible in my life. I need the kind of trouble that means miracles are possible for my family. Miracles are possible for my marriage. And while they are telling Jairus that his situation is over, that his little girl is dead, as soon, verse 36, as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not be afraid, only believe. Don't be afraid. Because you see, when we make his business our business, he makes our business his business. When we fall at his feet and give him what he deserves, he says, all right, you've got my attention, and I'm going to move and work in your life. I don't know about you, but I need an eavesdropping Savior. I need a Lord in my life who knows the desires of my heart, who knows how challenging this season is. He heard what they were saying. I don't know if they came hollering. I don't know if they came with great fanfare. I don't know if those coming with a message were discreet or if they just whispered down in Jairus' ear. All I know is the Bible said that Jesus heard what was spoken and he told Jairus, don't be afraid, only believe. And then verse 37, he permitted no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John. Hey, just you three are going with us. Jesus dismissed some of the people out of Jairus' life because sometimes rejection is protection. Sometimes you can't get that friend to pick up the phone or return the text, and you need to stop begging your way back into their life and just realize, you know what, maybe God separated this. Maybe the Lord has dismissed somebody from my life because he's getting ready to do a great miracle for my family. Verse 38, so he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, saw the tumult, those who wept and wailed loudly. When he came in, He said to them, "Why make this commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping." The truth is, we don't know. We have to assume that when they came saying the little girl was dead, we have to assume that she was dead. When all of them came into the house and Jesus sees them playing music and singing a sad song and already preparing her for a burial and funeral and all of those things are happening, Jesus comes in and said, why are you making this communion? This little girl is not dead. She's only asleep. The truth is, it doesn't matter what the circumstance looks like. It only matters what Jesus says that it is. Because whatever he says it is, that is what it is. I may look at your situation and say it's dead. I may look at your mess and say there's no fixing this. I may look at your finance and think, I don't know if there's any hope. I may look at your marriage and scratch my head. But Jesus looks at your life. Jesus looks at your situation, and whatever he declares it to be, that is what it will be. I don't know if there's anybody in this room that's ready for Jesus to speak life and to speak healing and to speak the miraculous and to speak deliverance and to speak health and to speak wholeness over you. But if you're in this room, just wave your hand and say, "Hey, me, Lord, I need you to work. I need you to move. I need you to heal in my life." Because the truth is, I shouldn't plan a funeral when I should be planning a party. Too many of us are too premature in calling it over, in calling it dead, in calling it done. I'm not planning a funeral today, I'm planning a party. And as Jesus said this, verse 40, the Bible said, and they ridiculed him. So Jesus said, fine, more people have to get out. More people have been dismissed, because all of us need the gift of goodbye in 2022. People that don't have the right attitude, people that do not have the right perspective, people that refuse to be positive or to speak faith. No, you got to go. I got to put you at arm's length, because I only want to hear the word of the Lord. I only want to hear what Jesus has to say. I know my situation looks bad. I know my circumstance is bleak. I know the prognosis is really nil, but Jesus is giving me hope, and I'm going to stand on that hope. I'm going to believe in that hope. And Jesus put them all outside. He puts them all outside. Everybody has been dismissed, but he takes the father and the mother of the child and Peter, James, and John. He enters where the child was lying, took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kumai," which is translated, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." Immediately. Not let's watch her for 6 weeks and then come back and we'll check her again. Immediately. I thank God for the healings that take 6 weeks. Ooh, but I like those suddenlies too. I like those immediatelys as well. Immediately, the girl arose and walked, just 12 years of age, and they were overcome with great amazement. A miracle, a breakthrough, life change. Her age is not insignificant to me. She's 12 years old. These are crazy times when our kids are being pressured like never before. There is an agenda being spoken over our next generation. That's why CY is so important, because they're going to get a word on Wednesdays that builds them, that affirms them, that helps them to know who they are in Christ. 12 years old. You know what we need in this crazy hour we're living in? We need fathers. We need men. We need brothers to cause some trouble. No, no, no. Our weapons are not carnal. We're fighting the spirit of this age, but fight we must. I'm not a man hiding behind my wife's spirituality, and I'm thankful for her spirituality. No one's having to drag me to church today. I'm telling everybody, get up, let's go. It's church time. Men, leaders, fathers, brothers that are ready to fight the good fight of faith. Stay in trouble. Stay in trouble. Stay in trouble. Men, you know how to cause trouble. Stay in trouble. I'm going to lift my voice. I'm going to bring my strength. I'm going to stay in trouble. You can't quiet me. Jesus, hey, come on. Lord, hey, don't forget. Don't remember. You remember. All right. I'll hold on. I'll be patient, but my family, my son, my finance, come on, let's go. Come on. I know I want that lady to get her miracle. Lord, hey, quit asking. She's the one touched you, okay? That's her right there. Let's go. Come on. Come on, come on. Come on, let's go. Stay in trouble. Stay in trouble. Stay in trouble. Stay in trouble. Lord, I pray today for men, for fathers, for brothers in this room, online with us today. I thank you, Lord, because I sense their strength. For some, it's a bold, loud strength. For others, it is a quiet strength. There are men in this room that are not full of words. They don't always have something to say. And yet their strength is undeniable. Our strength is not found in how many words we can speak a minute. Our strength is found in what we do as life is falling apart, as crisis is coming. Where do we go? What's our first move? What's our first step? This father, Jairus, said, I'm going to Jesus. That's where you'll find me. And I'm going to do everything I have to do to bring him back to our house. It wasn't an option to pick her up and take her to where Jesus was. Jesus, I need you to go to my house. I can't wait till the next revival Sunday. I can't even wait till the next Sunday. I need Jesus in my house. Men, go get him. You know where he is. Don't just invite him to come to your house, implore him. Don't take no for an answer. Jesus, come, come, I need you. Come, stay in trouble. Friends will tell you you're bothering, you're wasting time. Life will tell you to keep quiet. They said that of Bartimaeus, and the Bible said that he just cried out that much louder. I'm going to bother somebody today. I'm going to get on somebody's nerves today. I'm going to pray and believe and know. Because here I am to worship. Here I am to bow. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Any men in the house? Maybe already on your feet. Here I am to say that you're mine. You're altogether love, altogether worth, altogether. Thou never know how much it costs to see my sins upon that. From one man to another, I'll never know how much it costs to see my sins upon that cross. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Any men want to join me in the altar for just a moment? No pressure, but if you want to come join me for just a moment, just a moment, just a moment. It just feels good to step out and take a step. Take a step into fresh strength. Take a step into renewing. Take a step into power, into presence. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Here I am. I can look from one side of this altar to the other, to the eye of each man. I can see it on your face. If you're dealing with things that are not easy. I don't know a man who's got it easy. I don't know a man who is not under pressure, under stress. We don't always handle it well. Sometimes we're too short. Sometimes we're grumpy. Sometimes we're agitated, and our frustration comes out in words we wish we could take back. And that's the process. That's the process of allowing God to build and bless our lives and help us and knock the rough edges off. And some of you don't have perfect home situations, perfect marriage situations, perfect finances. You thought you'd be farther along in retirement than you are right now. It's a pressure. Everything is a stress. Every direction you look in is more pressure. But for this moment, I asked God to give us just a moment. To give us just a moment. I can't settle the books. I can't fix it all in a moment. But I asked God to give us just a moment. I'm going to sing this again. And when they do, I'm asking God for just a moment. For the weight to lift off of you and you to feel peace like a river from the crown of your head to the sole of your feet. Would you be willing to receive that, men? I know you feel like something's wrong if you're not fixing something, but what if we just push pause on everything we're trying to fix and we just allow the Holy Spirit to fix us? What if for 1 minute we didn't try to solve anybody's problem, give anyone instruction, we just allow the Holy Spirit to work for us? Men in this room, just sing it one more time. Jesus, I'm asking you to let every one of us feel it. I want Don to feel it. I want Aaron to feel it. I want everybody to feel it. Right now, men, why don't you just lift your hands? You're all together. From the top of your head to the sole of your feet. Feel it right now. It's a refreshing. It's a renewing. You're valued. You're successful. You're strong. You're blessed. In the name of Jesus. Pray for every person in this room as we close this service today. It maybe feels like they need to take that next step. That today is their day to say yes. Today is their day to repent and give to you what only you can fix. That's our sin, our shame. Today, Lord, I repent. I ask you to cleanse my life, to change my life. Men and women and youth in this house today that cry out to you, Lord, save me. Save me. Change my life forever. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen. Can we give Jesus a hand? Thank you, men. I love you. Thank God for you. Listen, if you just prayed that with us, maybe today is your first time. Maybe you're rededicating your life back to Jesus. On either side of this auditorium are yes banners. There are following Jesus books right there. You can pick one of these up. It's a short read. It'll bless your life. You can text the word follow to 404-777-4701. You'll get a link. Just give us your email address, and in just a few moments, you'll have this book right there to your email, to your phone. You can read it. God bless you. Love and celebrate and honor one of our men today on your way out. Happy Father's Day to you. We love you. Hey, there's Cokes and peanuts and photo wall. Go take a picture with that man today and bless him. We love you. Have a great, great day.